Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for Blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about the
bathroom?
I feel
like I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here and we'll get everything
taken care of. It took forever, and the worst part, hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
There's a better way. Shop Blinds.com for up to 45% off. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's Sal Capaccio.
Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio.
On WGR.
Our Bills beat reporter, sideline reporter Sal Capaccio was, of course, at Highmark Stadium on the sideline in postgame all around. Had him on pregame, chatted it up. Had a great Sunday, 1 o'clock. Afternoon. Good morning, Sal.
Good morning, guys. How are you?
Doing all right, you know. Sunday, 1 o'clock, Bills opener. It delivered in a lot of ways. It delivered a win. It delivered an MVP performance from Josh Allen. And, you know, maybe a little more drama than some Bills fans might have wanted. But I don't know. I was never really all that concerned they were going to lose that game, even down early in the first half and on that last drive either. Like, you know, it's a game that... I don't know. I know how good the Bills are probably going to be, and you know they did the job.
Well, I was concerned. I will tell you that the way the game started. However, I mean, to your point, there was always well, this is early. You know, sometimes this happens. I think back to many games over the last several years where, oh my God, the Giants just went down and scored their opening drive. Oh my God, the Cowboys just went down and scored. I think even the Raiders did a couple of years ago and the Bills blew them out. But as that game kept rolling along in the first half, my thought kept being, you know, I think the Bills are going to be fine on offense. They move the ball at will. The Bills just move the ball. They stopped themselves, right? We know that. Even early on, the first drive, bam, the fumble. My concern was, I just don't know if they're going to stop the Arizona Cardinals. Like, they're going to have to do something to get a turnover, to flip a possession here or there, because I don't know how they're going to do it. And lo and behold, not only did they do that, they got the turnover to flip the possession on the sack and the fumble. But honestly, like, great adjustments once they were down 17-3. I mean, this is pointing at the people who call you every week and me too, and because it's the low-hanging fruit, why do the coaches never make adjustments? The Bills got out-coached clearly to prepare for that game and the game plan-wise on each side, and then they clearly out-coached the Arizona Cardinals when it came to adjusting during the game, which I heard yesterday when on the rebroadcast. I didn't know this. The Cardinals had the lead in 11 of their games last year, and they won 4 games. Mm. And then it happened again. So clearly, that's a coaching staff. If you're in Arizona, that's a call you can make to a local radio station that they have trouble adjusting. Because the Bills really, give their coaches and players credit. When they were down 17-3, they made some adjustments in the second half on defense. And obviously, the offense just had to keep doing what they were doing, and they got the one turnover.
Yeah. What did you think they were doing on defense, Sal? Because offensively, it's almost tough to even gauge, right? Because they just had so few plays when they were down 17-3. And they did start throwing the ball more in the third quarter and then into the fourth quarter. So that was a little bit of it. But defensively was the big one because Arizona looked like they were going to be moving the ball all day. And whatever they adjusted to, you look up at the end of it and like 4.5 yards per play. Like, it didn't feel like that, I think, because the Cardinals just started the day so – it seemed like they started the day so well on offense.
So basically, they, and I asked a couple of players about this, the big thing they did, not to get too far in the weeds of it, but the big thing they did was really try to take away the edges. The Cardinals are just running to the edges. You know, I wrote about this in Arrow Up, Arrow Down. I gave an arrow down to the lack of production from the defensive tackles, but they didn't have a lot of opportunity, guys. I mean, the Cardinals weren't running into the teeth of the Bills' defense. They're trying to get to the edge. I think if you saw, remember in preseason, one of the issues that popped up for the Bills was, you know, and they weren't game planning. We kept saying they're not game planning. Remember Caleb Williams getting out on the edge, right? And that happening. Even in Pittsburgh, I said it happened during the scrimmage there a little bit, the open practice or whatever, the joint practice. Like, the edges were something that other teams were taking advantage of, but the Bills hadn't game planned. But I think the Cardinals probably looked at that and said, hey, let's test them there. We have an athletic quarterback. One big change for the Cardinals. Now, he had a huge run in the second half. I understand that. Kyler Murray ran one time the entire second half. He ran four times in the first half. They just did not allow anything to get onto the edges, and that meant Kyler Murray. So if you go back to the very first play of the second half, went back and watched it last night, one of the things they did really well right away was just string out James Conner. Like, in the first half, he gets to the edge, he turns it up. The Bills penetrated, knocked back their pulling guards, and didn't allow him to belly out a little bit and to get to the edge. So that was something they did. As soon as they saw them getting to the edge, they got super aggressive. They attacked those areas of the field. And, you know, thankfully the Cardinals didn't have any counters to come back the other way, because maybe that should have been something they did. But that's a big adjustment they made.
In terms of, while we're on the defense, Sal, like you said, pushing back the guards and the linemen. Greg Rousseau was doing that. And there were some he made some run plays in this way too, but obviously the three sacks and the two in the second half in big moments. And I just looked up, Sal, like he played 79% of the snaps. And if you trust Stathead on this, that's the fourth most the defensive end has ever played in a game under Sean McDermott, and the most since 2019. So he was on the field almost all day, and it felt like he was making impacts on almost every drive.
He's really, really good. And I mean, the Bills picked up his fifth year option, so he's locked up for this year and next year. And just long term, like, thinking about this right now, like, he's in a position, he's going to make himself a lot of money, but the Bills don't have to kind of worry about that a little bit until, you know, after next season, not even this season, because, you know, and they might want to kind of lock him up. So anyway, the point is, this is a player who has been ascending. He's coming into his own. He's into his fourth year. He understands this defense, and they're just allowing him to play. Remember last year, they moved him outside and inside a lot. I didn't see him as much doing that. I think it's just, hey, you're the edge rusher. You set the edge, you go to the quarterback. I think he's playing free. I think he's playing loose. He's a really good player. His length is really tough to deal with. If you're a tackle, one of the sacks he had was just such a great job. He's behind Kyler Murray. And then he basically had to reach back and come back towards the quarterback. And he just, no, you don't get that if you're not Greg Rousseau's length, right? His length allowed him to make that sack. So, yeah, I just tweeted out the snap counts a little while ago, by the way, guys, for this game. You can go check it out if you want on my Twitter. And it's interesting. Von Miller actually played 48% of the snaps. I didn't even think he might get that much in this one. Epinesa was up to 62. But if you look at the defensive end rotation, I mean, there's Greg Rousseau standing out. They played 61 snaps on defense. He had 48 of them. Hmm. Then Epinesa 38, Von Miller 29, and then Casey Tuhill played 11 snaps. So, yeah, I agree. I mean, he was just excellent. By the way, real quick, back to the Cardinals. I was just looking it up as I was curious as I was talking. Here's the breakdown if you want to see it in real stats. The Cardinals, over there, going around the left end or around the right end, ran the ball 13 times total. Anywhere else on the field, they only ran the ball 11 times in between.
How they, by the way, Sal, they replaced Taron Johnson in this game.
Yeah.
Cam Lewis and Jamarcus Ingram, basically.
Yeah. Mostly Lewis, but some Ingram, too.
Ingram went in on the package when they had to go to their dime package that they like.
That's exactly what happened. So early in the game, you saw what they were doing, and then all of a sudden they had to change it up. Here's what they were doing. So, as you guys know, Cam Lewis is the backup nickel, but he's also a safety. He is a Swiss Army knife. He can do a lot for them. And he was going to be in that dime package safety role. That role basically that Jordan Poyer played through the second half of last year, right? Where the team goes in a passing situation, you're putting Jordan Poyer down in the box as a third safety. That was Cam Lewis. Well, as soon as Taron Johnson gets hurt, now you can't do that because Cam Lewis is the backup nickel to Taron Johnson. So now suddenly the game plan has to completely shift as far as personnel. He has to go in for him. So Jamarcus Ingram, who practices at corner all week, but he's got to know the position, now suddenly he's thrust in to the dime safety look. Okay, you guys know, right? I'm raising my hand here. You know how much I love Jamarcus Ingram. I've talked about him for years here, right? I love him. And one thing I've always said to you, and Joe knows this, I've said this on the Extra Point Show many times. One of the things I love about Jamarcus Ingram is he can play safety. Now, the Bills don't necessarily have him there. It's not like, oh, move Christian Benford to safety, but that is a guy that can play safety. So it's not like it's completely foreign to him to be in the middle of the field to do these things. So he has flexibility, he has length, and Jamarcus Ingram then had to all of a sudden become that dime safety throughout the rest of the game. I mean, that's a huge adjustment. I don't think people can realize, you know, how much of a like change that is. You're not expecting, you have to be ready for it, but you're not expecting your starting nickel to go down and everybody have to completely adjust roles. This is not like the starting quarterback goes down, so the backup quarterback just goes in. I mean, you're shifting an entire game plan with personnel on the field.
Sal Capaccio joining us on the Western Hotline. We'll get some calls in, too. We'll dig more into the offense, some of the performances from rookie Ray Davis, rookie Keon Coleman, of course, but Pat in Akron as we connect with our fans. Hey, Pat, good morning.
Good morning. Guys, I was watching before the game to see if this was going to happen, and I think it did. I thought Joe Brady didn't show his whole hand. I thought it was a fairly vanilla offense. I mean, one catch by Kincaid, one by Samuel, I think, although James Cook was running great. I'm wondering if there was some thought that we're not going to show everything with Miami coming Thursday. I'm hoping that they kept Taron out just as cautionary to keep him for Thursday. I was wondering, I didn't see a whole lot of mixing it up or being real creative. Do you think maybe they were holding back some?
Thanks, Pat. You know, Sal, on the idea that they might have held out Taron Johnson, you brought this up on pregame that in your conversation with Sean McDermott on Friday on the Extra Point Show, that you could read what he said as, yes, they are making decisions with two games in 4 days, whatever, that could be a factor. So I want to say, I don't know if it was a factor for Taron Johnson in this case, but it would be a factor for some players. Might have been one of the reasons Curtis Samuel's snap count was kind of low. The load management of two games to start off.
Yeah, and I specifically asked that about the safeties, about Cole Bishop and Mike Edwards, and here's Cole Bishop not even getting a jersey. And Sean used the word preservation, and I do think that speaks to two games in 5 days and also long-term, right? You have a full long season here. So you want to make sure that everybody's kind of ready to go as much as possible for the whole season. As far as Taron Johnson, no. I mean, was the question why he didn't come back out, if that was possible because of the game?
Yes.
I guess it's possible, but I think if Taron Johnson could have gone, he would have come back out. He didn't. I don't know that. I don't think it's a great sign that he went into the locker room. He was originally questionable to return, guys. Questionable. He was on the sidelines. He was getting looked at. He had his helmet on. I thought he was going to go back in, and then they took him in the locker room. He never came out, and they ruled him out. To me, that's not a great sign, but we'll see, you know, what that situation is, right? I mean, it's a forearm injury. We know that, so hopefully he's okay, but that's going to be a tough turnaround for him, and, you know, obviously the good news there, and you never want to, I mean, he's the second best player in the defense or best player in the defense, whatever you want to call it. He's an all pro. And, you know, you never want to lose him. The good news is you just had a full game of reps in this particular personnel with those guys getting that feel that we just talked about, you know, in that particular case.
In terms of Brady's game plan, Sal, and kind of the Bills offensive performance in general, like Allen was tremendous, right? Like, there maybe is a play or two you could nitpick, but 99% of the plays that they had yesterday with the ball in Allen's hands, it felt like he was doing the right thing or he was making plays. And when he plays like that, I just think you're so tough to beat no matter maybe who you're playing.
Yeah, for sure. Listen, Josh Allen is just, I know it's kind of what people say, like a meme. He's built different, right? He just is. We'll see what's up with Josh, you know, as far as his hand is concerned. And, you know, I know that, you know, there's shots of him, you know, going down and hitting it. He had it taped up. I was concerned about ball security. I was concerned about snaps, taking snaps. That's a big thing. But you're going to have a few days here. But Josh's a tough dude. We know that. And he's going to have to work through something here. He's just tough to defend no matter what. And a lot of talk about Kyler Murray and what he can bring to the table. But, man, just watching this guy is just unbelievable. He really is. He took the team, I'm going to say, on his back. I mean, there were a lot of guys that contributed, right? No doubt about that. But, I mean, that what you saw yesterday, that's the definition of an MVP, right? A guy that just, he is just the most valuable player on the field. what he does for his team to allow them to come back in that game and to make the plays he does and says, I just need to make a play here. I mean, that's what an MVP is and an MVP does. And he played at an MVP level yesterday.
Getting through to some of the players that were role players here, you know, Sal, you know, Keon Coleman, nice catch on the sideline, exhibiting what he one of his big strengths, the body control, right? To make the catch around the defender, to get the feet down. That's something specifically Allen has talked about. So he got not only the most targets, the most catches, most yards. I mean, it was a somewhat quiet day outside of that big catch. But I thought Coleman's debut went about as good as you could hope.
Did you guys realize at the end of the game, I don't know if you realized this, I didn't know this until I looked at it, Keon Coleman wound up as the leading wide receiver for either team in the game as far as yards?
I did not see that.
Yeah, I mean, what did he have, 51?
51, yeah.
I got to look here, 51. Yeah, Keon Coleman, the leading receiver as far as yards in the game for anybody. Dortch had 47, Keon Coleman 51, nobody else had over 50 yards in the game. Now, this is the kind of distribution we're talking about with the Bills, and this is exactly what we've talked about for months. 10 different guys were targeted. 9 guys had catches. Keon Coleman had 4, the most catches of the Bills, 51 yards. I thought he played a good game. He drew a couple penalties down the field, and obviously that catch, isn't it, guys, isn't that the catch that we all saw in training camp that every single there was every day there was a highlight reel catch from Coleman. Wasn't it that catch that we saw where it's like He's down the field and his body control is just amazing, right? Like that's the thing we talked about. He gets separation because of his body control. He's not separating from the defender with his speed, but when the ball's in the air, he finds a way to separate to catch the ball. So far so good for Keon Coleman. No, he didn't have 2 touchdowns like Xavier Worthy. No, he didn't have 2 touchdowns like Stephon Diggs. But I think he had more yards total than both those guys in their games, and he was certainly a factor in this game for the Buffalo Bills.
Mac Hollins picks up a touchdown. Like, you know, he's been a popular player for the Bills, of course, and you know he's not someone that's had a lot of opportunities like that, Sal, and maybe he does have a home in this offense. At least for this year, he's got a home in this offense. Getting a red zone target is, you know, that's valuable. And the fact they went to Hollins and he made the play work, and Allen on the pre-snap there, of course, is good too.
Yeah, Allen did a great job. He noticed the blitz coming where I don't even know how he noticed. I went back and looked at it last night. He sees Buda Baker. They say on the broadcast, he sees Buda Baker coming. I mean, I'm watching. I don't see Buda Baker coming. And sure enough, he comes, right? Like, Baker's just kind of standing back. But Josh must have known from film study, this is what they do. And he's understanding his alignment. But Baker comes late. Like, he doesn't even time it well. For somehow, Josh knew that. So he knew that particular part of the middle of the field would be open as you know, Mac Hollins is running that way. Yeah, it's a great throw, great catch. I mean, that was just spot on. Terrific play by Josh. Josh has a very high football IQ. He made that play work. And then Mac Hollins, 58% of the snaps. As far as the wide receivers, he was second on the team. He had 58. Coleman had 73. And then Khalil Shakir had 53. So Mac Hollins, I think we could safely say what we've been kind of trending towards here for several months, which is he was not signed to be a special teams player. He was signed to be a main wide receiver on the Buffalo Bills in 2024.
He was. I
do not like that he wears number 13 because my mind continues to think that Gabe Davis is still out there running around.
He's
for the Bills,
playing the Gabe Davis spot and snap count. I mean, he's the new Gabe.
The height isn't too different either.
Yeah, Gabe, by the way, had a nice game. He had 6 catches for 60-something yards, I believe, yesterday. Yeah. Did not score, though, for the Jags.
Shakir, by the way, again, Sal, like, here's another one of these plays, him finding a way to get in the end zone there. There was another play where he got hit hard and didn't go down and got another 10 yards off it. Like, Shakir, his contact balance, like, I almost feel like
it's amazing.
He plays like a running back almost in some ways when he has the ball in his hands.
I agree. And that's really kind of, that was his game a little bit when he was drafted, right? Where they said he's really good with the ball in his hands. You know, he can, you know, we call him a punt catcher. And I think sometimes I feel weird doing that because I think he actually can return punts okay. Like, he has the ability to make moves with the ball in his hands as a punt returner. He's not dynamic, but he can do it. And, you know, last year we saw him a few times get the ball in his hands. When was it? Remember a couple of years ago, that Baltimore game, he made a big play in the rain with the ball in his hands as the Bills were coming back. Like, he's really good in that role, but he's also tough as nails. I mean, he is a tough, tough football player. And that shot he took on the short pass that turned into a 19-yard gain, and then for him to roll over the defender of the IQ and the awareness and to keep going forward with his legs, I mean, that was just textbook right there. That's great stuff. Great job by Khalil Shakir. So, yeah, there was a lot there to like about Khalil Shakir's game yesterday.
To round out on the receiver, Sal, it wasn't a lot of snaps and only two touches for Curtis Samuel. Do you think some of that could have had to do with the injury still?
I do. I'm not sure. But again, preservation here. He had two games in 5 days for the Bills. He had not been, he had been a full participant the last week or so. But let's remember, he did deal with the toe injury. Maybe he's still dealing with it in some capacity. I don't know, but he's a full participant, but he is listed on the injury report. So he also missed some time. Game plan wise, maybe, going back to what the caller said earlier, maybe you're holding stuff back a little bit because of, you got a division game coming up. You didn't have it was a game where maybe the Bills had to get out of their game plan a little bit too, right? Maybe they couldn't control the ball the way they wanted to, down 17-3 and having to come back a little bit. So, Joe, I think a lot of that probably comes into play here with Curtis Samuel. We'll see, though, in Miami. I would suspect, as I sit here now, his snap count would be higher in Miami, because if it's not, then I'm starting to wonder, what is happening there.
Sal Capaccio on the Western Hotline. All right, Sal, so the week, it's a short week. We're watching Miami highlights right now. They win at the buzzer with a 52-yard field goal. Thursday night football, how do the Bills generally handle Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday when going from a Sunday right into a Thursday game?
So we already know that today Sean McDermott is going to be speaking to the media at, let me get this for you, I have it here for you, 3:15 p.m. McDermott at 3:15, and then at 4:45, we're going to hear from Joe Brady and Bobby Babich. There would be no practice for the media today, and I believe, I don't know yet about tomorrow, but generally that's the more media day on a Thursday game, is 2 days before, because Wednesday becomes a travel day. So today you'll hear from coaches. Tomorrow, my guess is a practice for the media to watch. I don't have that official yet. That's generally how it works. Wednesday's a travel day. As of now, so everybody knows, for planning purposes, Wednesday will be Sean McDermott on the Extra Point Show for this week as well.
All right. Bills, Dolphins, Thursday.
Should we touch on the kickoff real quick, Sal?
Yeah, sure. I think we should talk about a few things on special teams, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
You want to start with the kickoff?
Definitely.
Go ahead, Joe. You have a question or a comment? Go ahead.
No, I mean, just really, we got the NFL got in the Bills game maybe what they were hoping for, which was big plays. The Bills maybe didn't. I mean, they get the big one from Codrington early, but did you see what kind of happened, or have you watched the playback to see maybe how DJ Dallas got loose on that kick return?
Yeah, just people getting defeated in one-on-ones, Joe. Really, that's what it came down to. And that's how you're going to get those big plays. The field is too spread out in this, because you don't have a lot of time to run down there and get to your spot. All it takes is two or three guys to get defeated one-on-one, and there's your hole. And that's what happened in this particular one. It kind of happened for the Codrington one as well. I don't know what the Cardinals were doing. It seemed like they kind of maybe expected him to go the other way. But there were a couple of defeats one-on-one, and that's how you get loose, and that's what's going to happen on these kickoffs. Every single kick that went that way was returned, was not in the end zone, or it should say did not go into the end zone. Like, it wasn't returned. There were a couple, obviously, didn't hit the landing zone or go out of bounds in one case, but it was tough. I was down on the field. It was tough to go that way kicking the ball, which I would tell you, that's why I think it was an impressive day that Tyler Bass had. I understand that the kickoff that went out of bounds, whether that was on him or the coaches, whatever, what they wanted to do, that's a tough situation. So maybe he wasn't perfect, but on field goals, on extra points, that was a really needed day for Tyler Bass. He was 6 for 6 total, 4 extra points, 2 field goals, and it was a windy day. That was really nice. And then as far as Codrington, great start for him. His first touch in a Bills uniform, he almost takes it to the house, so that was great too.
All right. Sal, we'll be listening. Thanks very much, and short week, so we'll get right to it.
You got it. Thanks.
Sal Capaccio on the Western Hotline as we chat with him on a Buffalo Bills Football Monday. I'm just checking. I got a couple things, some stats of the game that I owe you that I'll get to, but I wanted to point out the number of where is it here? I'm looking for targets. And like the 10 guys got targeted, 9 guys caught a pass.
Yeah. Coleman led the way with 5. Shakir and Cook had 3. I mean, second on the team with 3.
Yep.
And then 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 guys all had 2. Kincaid, Samuel, MVS, Knox, and Hollins.
That's not, if I may, that's not that unusual for a Josh Allen offense. I mean, a couple of years ago when they had a stud receiver on their team. They threw touchdowns to 11 different people.
That was a record, wasn't it?
Yeah. Allen's always been a guy that tends to spread the ball around a bit. So when we get back, all right, I've got some stats for you because I wanted to look into some of the game script and what they did. And I've got a tweet here and a text here from another listener about how often they ran the ball on first down. And I'm looking at second and short, what they did on second and short to see tendencies here, because I do think that one of the takeaways from this game is, you know, you might like individual players, you might like what they did on, what Keon Coleman did on a play, but what about Joe Brady and what he envisions for this offense to keep it on schedule? Get you some numbers on that. The run-pass ratio on, like, neutral first downs, which just takes away the final two-minute drive of the first half. Every other drive, what do they do on first down? We'll get that for you next.
Fakes the pitch, fires over the middle. It's complete to Knox, who's rolling and rumbling all the way down to the 20-yard line. 24-yard pass play, Allen to Knox.
From the mind of a two-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Oh, it's such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
And a minimal salary cap hit. Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too. What,
you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Now steps up in the pocket, throws. Now he's going to run, and the beast has once again been released. Josh Allen with a 6-yard touchdown romp. His second rushing touchdown of the day. 4 total touchdowns from the Bills QB. Can you say MVP?
Highlights of the game brought to you by Northland Workforce Training Center. Jeremy and Joe, happy football Monday. Victory Monday is brought to you by Northwest Bank. For what's next, get started at northwest.com. Josh Allen, 2 rushing touchdowns. 2 passing touchdowns. Khalil Shakir, I'll give him the play of the day for that stretch and yak. Although Allen is pretty good, too.
I can't believe Shakir got in, though.
Yeah.
He needed to surf on top of one of the Cardinals' corners to get in.
If he hadn't and had been marked down at the 1, Josh Allen would have 3 rushing touchdowns, I bet.
Because they would have pushed him in from the
1. Yeah, he'd be at the 1-yard line.
Yeah.
Okay, so, got some numbers for you on this. And, it's funny, the way that, for me, it's not necessarily a war on running the football for me, but I do have a problem with the way we talk about it. And I'll get to defending the Bills first. Josh writes in, the book on the Bills' defense is out, and it's relatively the same as every other year. You can gash them on the ground. What'd they give up on the ground? What'd they give up on the ground to Arizona Cardinals running backs? What did they give up on the ground? They got gashed on the ground. What'd they give up?
I don't remember there ever being run plays in the second half. So what'd they give up, like 70 yards, 80 yards?
That's right. 70 yards. Kyler went for 11 yards per carry on scrambles. He might have had one design run.
One design run
for Kyler.
Yeah.
James Conner, 16 carries for 50 yards. That is not getting gashed.
Nope.
3.1 yards per carry.
Nope.
Trey Benson, 3 carries for 13, 4.3 yards per carry. The Bills did not get gashed on the ground.
No.
And, flip side, how did the Bills run the ball? I will be the first one to tell you, it really felt like they ran the ball pretty well. They really didn't. Josh Allen had a good game carrying the football, but I mean, James Cook was 19 for 71, 3.7 yards per carry. Like, did not have a great day running the football when we've seen great days running the football.
And how many of those were even Allen designed runs? Two?
Mm-hmm.
The touchdown, right? And the first touchdown run was designed. And then he had a QB sneak that was designed. Does that count as a design run? And that was probably it.
Yeah.
Everything else was a scramble.
So if anyone's wanting to look into run-pass ratio and stuff like that, if you care about that, I do care about this because, you know, it's week one. And if all you care about is, well, they won the game, then that's great. And a lot of Bills fans are trying to dig into, you know, what does it mean? How does, oh, Coleman flashing a bit. Maybe he's earning more targets and, you know, all that that comes with it. I've got it at, I only took out one drive, and that's the drive, the two-minute drill drive for the Bills at the end of the first half.
Okay.
As they're trying to get back into this game, that's time winding down, that's a heavy pass script because of when they get the ball, right?
Yeah.
It is, they get the ball 2:21 left in the first half.
Okay.
Okay. Or no, I'm sorry, that's not right. It's a seven play.
But it wasn't much more than that.
It was 2:40.
Yeah, 2:40.
2:40 left in this first half. Can I count that as a two-minute drill kind of drive?
Sure.
Not running a regular offense. Take that one out. Include all the rest.
Okay.
The Bills on first down ran the ball 16 times and passed it 5. 16-5 run to pass. On second down and 4 or less. Like I that's a number you could cherry pick any number you want. Why did I cherry pick second and 4?
Mm-hmm.
Because I go back to the playoff game against the Chiefs where on second and 4 or less they had 13 of those and they ran it 10 times. In this game, they had second and 4 or less 5 times and they ran it on 4. Like the first drive of the game, Cook ricks off a big run, and they go right back to it on second and 1. And, you know, whatever. We'll see how the offense evolves over time. And they probably liked their matchup with Arizona, who did not have a very good run defense last year, but I thought had a decent enough day yesterday. They look like they're going to be a run-heavier team. And week one shows that that might be lining up. There are good teams that run it. I'm not disputing it. You've got the Niners tonight who will probably come in run heavy, and the Lions are run heavy, and they're a good team. But the Bills, for most of the Josh Allen era, have been pass heavy. And Joe Brady took over, and that went more towards the run game. And so far, Kevin Cole of Unexpected Points, the Unexpected Points podcast, like what they can do, what some of these stat guys, data guys do, is neutral situations, how often teams run versus pass.
Yeah.
And where do the Bills rank in pass rate through week one?
All right.
The answer is 23rd. They're 23rd in the NFL in neutral situation pass rate.
That's a neutral pass rate or expected drop rate or something like that? Because I have their neutral pass rate here in front of me.
Okay, what's that?
And I've got it from Hayden Winks tweeted this out. This is the data is from the NFL. NFL okay. Fast is like where the data comes from. The Bills they have is the 14th in pass rate. But it was only 47%, which last year would have ranked 29th. So, again, like I don't know what the difference here is, what they're taking out. Excludes under 2 minutes and a half. It does say that. Here you go. Win probability between 20 and 80%.
Gotcha.
So that's what they've got.
So they probably don't include the runs at the end of the game because there's 5 runs.
They might not also include like third and shorts maybe, right? Like a third and 2 run.
However you want to slice it. Like
either way, though, like That's across the league, that would point to, okay, the league ran more in week one. What the Bills did, though, was run the ball more. If you would want that to go up. 47% neutral pass rate is very low. They're typically been a team that has been 65. Above 60, 65.
Yeah. And the Dorsey and Dable versions of them.
Right.
And this might be the new Josh Allen. Like, this might be what, I mean, to throw the ball 23 times in a game, that's not often what happens. You know, right. McDermott has had his problems over the years when they get too pass happy. He wants the threat of a run game. And right now the threat of a run game, I mean it exists. If you're defending the Bills or game planning for the Bills, wouldn't you be more likely to believe they want to run it than ever before? They sure look like it. So one game in and a heavy dose of the run game.
Very much.
19 yeah. carries for Cook. I had another friend send me this. Joe tweeted me a stat about this, about like Singletary versus Cook. So how many times has James Cook had 15 carries for the Bills versus how many times Devin Singletary did? Singletary got 15 carries in a game 8 times in 3 years.
That's it?
Yeah.
Man, it felt like...
Singletary got 15 carries 8 times.
Okay.
You know what James Cook's number's at?
It's probably already the same, isn't
7.
It?
7. He's at 7.
Okay. So he'll get there like next week?
He is. James Cook has done it in 18 games.
Yeah.
What Singletary did in 3 years. So they are leaning on James Cook, who I think is really good. It's fun to watch him dance through traffic.
Yeah.
It's a strength of his. If he gets a little bit of space, he can dance pretty well. But if you're someone that is, whatever, sensitive to the run game taking over, I think that you might be happy the Bills won and eager to see how often they play like that. Justin in West Seneca. Hey, Justin, good morning.
Hey, guys. Long time listener, first time calling. I actually kind of missed the drought era when you guys on Mondays, it was my therapy. But yesterday, I'm watching the game with people behind me, and you could tell Josh all day has been wanting that deep ball, but he kept taking the under routes, which is great to see, and it's nice to see everybody eating. But I don't even remember who scored this touchdown, but Deion with Dawkins pretty much plowed the road, plowed a guy over for someone to score. And it's nice to see on offense, the whole team, they're all taking their part. Now, on the run game you were talking about, behind me in my seats, there's a kid my age, so we talk about, hey, we got to throw the ball. And his uncle's all about, you have to run it and impose your will. And it's just, we go back and forth all game talking about throw, pass, and I miss the pass days. I get the times when we have to run. I just think our offense evolves better if we pass the run rather than run the pass.
Yeah. We'll see. Like, again, it's opponent-driven and how you like your matchup against Arizona versus whatever, Miami. I don't know what to think about Miami.
I think they should have lost yesterday.
They probably should have lost. They probably should have lost.
I can't believe they won that game. It was 1 yard from being 24-3 Jaguars. Travis Etienne holds onto a football. It's 24-3. The game is over. And the next play is an 80-yard touchdown by Tyreek Hill, by the way. Like, it was a 30-second swing. And Hill's getting like arrested before the game, right? And
listen,
happening.
It's the year of
Waddle these... gets ruled out for the game and then comes back 5 minutes later. Is that even allowed? I guess it is.
It is weird. It's the year of the star athlete getting arrested and then going and producing. Although Scheffler he didn't win the tournament.
Right.
803-0550. Right. Stat of the day. Let's get a stat of the day for you from around the NFL. This one comes courtesy of the New York Football Giants. I saw you retweet this.
This one's pretty good. If you're a Giants fan, man, prayers for you. I mean, that was a tough day to open your season.
Since signing a 4-year, $160 million contract with the Giants before last season, Daniel Jones has thrown more touchdown passes to the other team than his own. He has 3 pick sixes and 2 touchdowns to his own team. Since signing a $160 million contract, 3 touchdowns to the bad guys, 2 touchdowns to the good guys.
That's so bad.
Drew Lock's going to have that job in a couple weeks. Maybe next week.
It should be. Who feels worse than a Giant fan this morning?
A Browns fan, possibly.
Okay. Yes.
A Panther.
Well, that because you are locked into that.
Yes, you are.
It looks like it's over, and it can't be over.
And they just restructured him.
That made no sense. I still don't understand why they did that. They locked themselves in for a third year. And then a Panthers fan feels, you know, you might already have felt that inside if you're a Panther fan, but that didn't. They were down 30-3 at the half.
The NFL kickoff numbers, most watched NFL kickoff game ever. And I wonder if tonight's Monday Nighter sets a record for an opener because, listen, say what you will.
I can't wait for tonight.
Aaron Rodgers. Let's find out. If the Jets go on the road and beat the Niners, like, the AFC East is up, right? I mean, I know Miami is still there, and we'll see how the Bills do on Thursday.
And the Patriots are probably not going to do much more than what they did yesterday.
Right. But if the Jets go in there and win or look good, I mean, that's a conversation I'm sure we, of course, will have. So Rodgers tonight, his re-debut, if we may. 803-0550. Let's get more calls. What do you think about the run pass, Josh Allen's MVP start, the rookie performances? You can give us a call. It's Victory Monday, Buffalo Bills Football Monday. Brought to you by Northwest Bank. For what's next, get started at northwest.com.
Looking to his right, pumps, now has to roll out to his left. Allen wide open to Shakir at the 42, bounces off a tackle, 45-50 over midfield. Big play by Khalil Shakir.
Yeah, I'm always trying to keep my eyes on him. You know, we were talking to my locker room after, and someone was saying, hey, Josh, had this guy open on this play? And I'm like, I just keep my eyes on him most of the time just to make sure he's doing all right and then, you know, making sure that he's not hit late or whatever. So it's hard to see the guys open down the field for me even and making sure he's doing okay. So, yeah, he's a competitor, and you never want anything to happen. There's a balance there, as always. Like, we talk about that a lot, so.
Josh Allen says can't make a living like that. Sean McDermott says there's a balance there. What happened in the game? Josh Allen jumped over dudes and smashed his hand. And what? Oh, yeah, I got to be more careful.
Yep.
Head over to WGR550.com and enter for your chance to win a Blackstone 2-burner Black Outdoor LP gas griddle just in time for tailgate season, and that's courtesy of Value Home Centers. Also, that slice of audio from the locker room brought to you by Picasso's Pizza, your game day tailgating headquarters. Jeremy and Joe here on a victory Monday.
Love my Blackstone. What'd you guys do for tailgate food? Anything good?
Nothing too elaborate, you know? It was just like a be outside, nice kind of day.
All right.
How about the new stadium? Like looking
it's
at
tall.
The new one?
It's tall. Already. Not all the way around, but the cranes with the flags on the top, too, is a nice little move, too, I think. Or is it going to be by the end of the year? We're going to have a shell by the end of the year? I actually don't know. I don't know. I'm just wondering. Because it feels like the skeleton of the stadium's like kind of close to being up, right? Like they have to do one more side, but like you can't miss it at all. Traffic was pretty bad.
Yeah.
Yesterday. Yeah.
Get used to
very
that,
slow next to the stadium. Next to the new stadium. Also, I don't know, did anybody else experience this? You put in Highmark Stadium to your map and on your car. Like I just do that wherever I'm driving.
Just to estimate like how long it'll be.
Yeah. And then as I'm driving up Big Tree Road, I notice it has my destination labeled. I'm like, I'm almost passing the new stadium, and it has it like immediately on my left, and I'm looking like, wait a minute. Maps thinks already has the new stadium marked as Highmark Stadium. It was taking me to the new stadium. I'm like, not yet. 2 more years before you have to direct me there.
It's like there's a Michael Scott Office episode where they pull into the new stadium in that world, right? Like the episode of The Office on the GPS, they drive
you
to a pond.
This is the lake.
Yeah, right.
Yes.
Pull on into the new stadium.
Yep.
Go sit in your seat. Jeremy and Joe, 803-0550, 1-888-550-2550. Aaron Rodgers and the Jets tonight against the San Francisco 49ers. We'll see how much Brandon Ayuk gets. Quickly on Dak Prescott. $60 million for Dak.
Yep.
Worth it. He's worth it.
That was not a popular take yesterday.
Very, very good. The passage of time indicates that quarterbacks will start to get paid more money. That's just how this works. Oh, what are the Cowboys going to do about Dak and CeeDee? Oh, they're just going to sign them all.
Yeah. Okay. I'm one away from winning my bet with Nate. You were off. I bet Nate the Dells would extend Dak, Lamb, and Parsons.
One more to go,
and I win that bet. All right. Also, I have a bet. Look, I was betting Dak the whole way. I bet Sal that Dak would play over 3.5 years, so week one, 2026. I'm going to win that one, too.
You're looking like you're in great shape. Pittsburgh won without a touchdown.
I hate them.
The world will never change.
Backup quarterback, no touchdowns, no problem.
Listen, it's not a good day for my Falcons and fantasy life as a Falcons stockholder.
Yeah, what happened there?
Who knows?
I'll have to watch. I didn't see anything. That game was never on Red Zone.
Cooper Kupp had 21 targets yesterday. It's Football Monday. More of your calls. We have a wide open segment. Load them up. Let's talk Bills. They played a game. Your team in transition scored the dub. Give us a call about it. 803-0550, 1-888-550-2550. Football Monday, Victory Monday, brought to you by Northwest Bank. For what's next, get started at northwest.com.
Blitz comes from the other side. Allen avoids it, rolls out to his right. Complete to Cook, into Arizona territory, and down to the 36-yard line. Big first down on a 3rd and 11.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps.
and thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about this?
I feel
bathroom?
Like I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here and we'll get everything
taken
care of.
It took forever, and the worst part, hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
There's a better way. Shop Blinds.com for up to 45% off. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.